Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer. I'll be your host this morning. We're going to look at some things that are going on around us in the Brotherhood, and then we're also going to continue our ongoing study of the New Testament. This morning we will come to the 10th chapter of Acts, a pivotal chapter of the New Testament, where we see the Gospel taken to the Gentiles for the first time. And so we'll be looking at that this morning. But before we do that, we like to begin our program with our bulletin board, and we have just a few things we want to mention this morning. And one of those is a gospel meeting that is going to be coming up May 29 through June the 1st. This is going to be at the North Main Church of Christ in Malvern, Arkansas. The speaker will be Brother Wayne Rogers from Gulf Breeze, Florida. And the topic for this series of meetings will be One Versus Many. And this will be a series of lessons taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, in dealing with the seven ones of Ephesians. Camp time is right around the corner, and we want to remind you and your young people of Camp Ida. Camp Ida is located outside of Maud, Texas. And this year there is going to be five sessions for which you can avail yourself to. Now you can go to the website at campida.com, and there you can obtain information regarding registration, the forms needed for that, information about the camp, some of the rules for the campers. And if you're looking for a camp for your young people where you can have the assurity of sound and solid Bible teaching, a camp where modesty is a way of life, contrary to the world around us today, especially in the summertime, a camp where the counselors are there for the young people and teaching and helping. A camp where lasting lifetime friendships are made. Camp Ida is the place to be. The first session will be held June 5th through the 10th. And the director will be Brother Robert Osborne. And the subject will be Like a Tree Planted by the River of Life. Session 2 will be held June 12 through the 17th. The director is Ross Hafner. Session 3 will be held June 19th through the 24th. Brother Richard Rutledge will be the director, and the theme will be Make Me a Servant. Session 4 will be held June 26th through July 1st. The director will be Brother J.J. Hendricks. And this will be a leadership session. And session 5 will be held July 3rd through the 8th with the theme of Independence Day in Christ. And the director is Brian Braswell. So make plans to attend Camp Ida. Go to campida.com for more information. Two very special events that are held each summer now is at the Southwest School of Bible Studies in Austin, Texas, and the Memphis School of Preaching in Memphis, Tennessee. And that is the Southwest School of Bible Studies Servants Academy and the Memphis School of Preaching's Foundations Camp. They're held at the same time. The session in Austin will be June 26th through July the 1st. This will be for young women and men and women ages 15 through 18. There is room for 20 men and 20 women. You will receive training in preaching, Bible study, every aspect of service. This is an outstanding program. In Memphis at the MSOP, it will be held June 25th through July the 1st. The theme this year is Here Am I to Worship. And this camp is for young men and women ages 13 through 19, where also there will be intensive Bible study and training and worship and the role of young men and young women, and just a great, great event there for young people coming up at the School of Preachings in Austin, Texas, and Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to consider Acts chapter 10 and the conversion of Cornelius as the gospel is taken to the Gentiles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Chapter of Acts, as we study together this morning. If you're driving down the highway listening, I encourage you to listen in. Don't be taking your eye off the road, but I hope that you can be able to listen in here to the things we're discussing this morning. The 10th chapter of Acts begins with the vision that is seen by a man named Cornelius. In verse 1 it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always." Now Caesarea was the Roman center of government in the area of Palestine. And we see that Cornelius was a centurion, a man who would have commanded around 100 soldiers. He would have been a very important man in that part of the country. Cornelius was a Gentile, and he was about to become the first non-Jew to be added by the Lord to his church. It told us that Cornelius was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household. So let's consider now a few things about this man, Cornelius. It said that he was a devout man. He was very religious, and he was very sincere. But he was now worshiping in an obsolete system of patriarchy, for the Jews, who for many generations had worshipped under the Mosaical law that was now obsolete, the Gentiles had continued marching through time under a patriarchal system, as much like what the Jews had been living under before the law of Moses. And so, very religious and very sincere, he was worshiping in a system that was going to no longer be in effect for him. It says that he feared God with all his house. This says much about Cornelius. For Cornelius had taught and instilled in his household a fear of God. He had it not only in himself, but also his family held God with the same sense of respect and awe and reverence. We see that he was a very good man, for he gave alms generously. He was a benevolent man. What a great quality. He was blessed with material goods, and he was a good steward over them, because he helped those around him that were in need. It said that he prayed to God always. Cornelius was a man who was sincere in his faith. It wasn't a faith that was just for show to be seen of men, but he prayed to God regularly, and he did it with sincerity. In fact, we'll read in later verses that it tells us that he fasted regularly. He was a just man, and he was respected even by the Jews, and that was no small accomplishment. But the fact is, as we are fixing to find out, for as good a man as he was, and there was no doubt Cornelius was a very good man, Cornelius, though he was worshiping God, was still lost, and he was still in his sin. Verse 3 says that about the ninth hour of the day, he saw very clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. So we see the scene. Cornelius has a vision in the middle of the afternoon. And as an angel appears and calls out to him, Cornelius. Verse 4, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Cornelius, at first, was frightened by the angel. Cornelius realized that this being was greater than him. It was certainly not an ordinary man that he was encountering here, and he referred to him as Lord. Cornelius, of course, was instantly curious and puzzled, and he wanted to know why this angel was appearing to him. He said, What is it, Lord? God was aware of the prayers and the alms of this devout man. It told us that his prayers and alms had come up for a memorial before God. But Cornelius was still lost, and he needed salvation. But for those that diligently seek God, and I hope we will all understand this, those that diligently seek God, opportunity will come their way. Now, we must not let it pass by. We must not overlook it. But opportunity will be for those who diligently and honestly seek God. Cornelius here is a great example that salvation does not come by prayer alone. Many believe that salvation can come simply through prayer. But Cornelius, and also Saul of Tarsus, will give us good example of the point that salvation does not come by prayer alone. We can truly see the beauty of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, as it relates to Cornelius. Remember the words of Hebrews 11, 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So, this good man now receives instruction from the angel in verse 5. "Now, send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." The angel tells Cornelius to send some men to Joppa and find a man named Simon Peter. And he informed Cornelius that Simon Peter was going to be staying in the home of a tanner named Simon. He told him that he will tell you what you must do. You see, the angel was not going to tell Cornelius what to do to be saved. The Holy Spirit did not tell Cornelius what to do to be saved. God is not a respecter of person, and God has determined the means by which the message of salvation is delivered. And so, in this age that we live, God has used man to spread that message. It would be through preaching, through teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, we read, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Verse 7, "And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." And so Cornelius follows the instructions of the angel. The men are sent that day, and they arrive in Joppa the next day. And so the inspired pen of Luke has told us of the vision of Cornelius. And now Luke, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, turns the attention now to the vision of Peter. Peter, of course, was a Jew, and Peter would not be one who would get up and travel to Joppa approximately 30 miles on foot to go and meet a Gentile. This was not something any Jew would do. Peter was going to require some new understanding and knowledge before he or any other Jew would comply with such a directive. This encounter that Peter is about to have was going to completely change everything that Peter had understood and believed up to this point in his life. Verse 9, we see now as Cornelius has sent the men on their way, he turns the attention to Peter. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." So Peter goes up on the rooftop to pray. It is around the noon hour, and they had apparently not had lunch as of yet before he entered this period of prayer. And verse 10 relates to us then that he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So while he's praying, and in his hunger, he falls into a trance, or he begins to receive a vision. Vines expressed and defined a trance as a condition in which the ordinary consciousness and the perception of natural circumstances were withheld, and the soul susceptible only to the vision imparted by God. I think that's a very good definition. And in verse 11, now we see this vision coming to Peter. And saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. The hungry Peter sees all kinds of animals, both clean and unclean, in his vision. And a voice came to him in verse 13, saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Though extremely hungry, Peter refuses the invitation to kill and eat. And he did this in good conscience. For Peter had always honored the laws about what was clean or unclean and followed them. And Peter, with his good heart, would soon choose to change his practice concerning those things that had previously been unclean to him. He was about to see that the Gentiles have the same need for the gospel as the Jews. Peter referred to the speaker here as Lord, obviously one of great power. Now, this was not necessarily Jesus. It could have been an angel, but it could have possibly been Jesus. I think more likely an angel here, though. And verse 15, and a voice spoke to him again the second time. "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had sent for Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. So we see that the voice gave Peter another gentle or mild rebuke in verse 15 when he said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times. This vision was certainly a lot for Peter to try to grasp. Verse 17 reported that Peter was wondering in himself what the vision had meant. And so while Peter is mulling over the events of this vision, at that time the men that Cornelius had sent for him arrived. It said, "Behold," in the latter part of verse 17, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. In 19, it said, "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" So here we see Peter being directed by the Holy Spirit to go with the three men that were seeking him. Peter would, in all likelihood, figure that this had something to do with the vision which he had just received. Now, the Holy Spirit gave this information directly to Peter. He didn't tell him everything yet. He just told him to go with him. It's also interesting that the angel sent other men to get Peter instead of just telling Peter to go. Perhaps this also illustrates us to us that the Spirit does not directly manifest upon individuals to affect their salvation. We do not directly speak to Cornelius. Instead, it would be by the foolishness of preaching that the word would be taken to Cornelius and his household. And so, having now seen the visions of Cornelius and the vision of Peter, Peter and the party sent by Cornelius to fetch him now prepare to leave and begin the journey to Joppa, back to Caesarea in the house of Cornelius, as we will pick up now in verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." We see that Peter asked the men why they had come looking for him. Peter, obviously here, did not fully understand what they were there for, but he knew that it would have something to do with the vision that he had just received. And the men told Peter of this devout man of whom they served, named Cornelius. And Peter was going to go and to deliver the words of the gospel to Cornelius and to his household. And again, we call attention to the fact that the Holy Spirit did not manifest directly upon Cornelius for salvation. The medium that the Holy Spirit uses today is the Word in this Christian dispensation. And so Peter would thus go to the household of Cornelius and preach the Word of the Gospel. And they would be saved by the message of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 23, "Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends." So now remember, the men from Caesarea that came to fetch Peter and had a quite distant journey of some 30 miles to get to Joppa. And so they would spend the night, and they would leave the next day. They all would spend the night at the house of Simon the Tanner, And that next morning, they would leave for Caesarea. And also with them would be a few men from Joppa also. And when they arrived in Caesarea, they found Cornelius already waiting for them. And others were present also. Apparently, Cornelius had arranged and invited others to come and to hear these words. It reminds us again of the fact that the Lord will provide an opportunity for a truth seeker. You know, the Word and the Gospel will be there. There will be opportunity. Perhaps an individual maybe has lived a life surrounded by false doctrine. It may have been all they know. But at some point, if they are honest and seeking God in truth, opportunity will present itself. Sadly, many that claim to be truth seekers are not. It is just simply lip service in far too many cases, as folks will not give up the ways of the world or the doctrine of men when truth presents itself to them. And so now we see Peter coming in to Cornelius in verse 25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. So when they met, Cornelius fell down before Peter and offered worship to him. This is probably a lot like Peter himself had acted at the Mount of Transfiguration. He simply just got a little bit overexcited. Now we might note that Catholicism attempts to claim that Peter was the first in their line of popes. The Pope, according to Catholicism, is infallible and is reverenced by Catholics. But note that Peter refused the worship and the homage of Cornelius. He said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." This would not be the reaction of the supposed vicar of Christ on earth. In fact, Peter did not claim infallibility, and in fact, he was a very fallible man, for he had denied his Lord three times, and soon he would be guilty of sin and withdrawing himself from the Gentiles when some of the Jews came down to where he was. In fact, Paul had to rebuke him to his face in Galatians chapter 2. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 that we should worship the Lord our God, and him only we should serve. And so Peter now began to speak to the gathered group there at the home of Cornelius. And he related now to them about his vision. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent me?" So Peter, still here, somewhat confused, Peter points out that traditionally, as a Jew, he would not have any dealings with the Gentiles. But at the same time, God has now shown him in the vision that he should not call any man unclean, and that would include a Gentile. And so this points out that the gospel was now certainly for all, including the Gentiles. And this is why Peter had come with the men. as a result of that vision he had received. And so now Cornelius responds to Peter in verse 30 and relates to him what had occurred to him several days before. So Cornelius said, verse 30, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send, therefore, to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded by you, by God. So Cornelius relates to Peter his own vision. Cornelius was devout, he was sincere, and he was lost. But God would provide a way for him to respond to the gospel of Christ. Oh, so many today are devout, and so many are sincere, and so many are lost. How many are there today that will respond to truth like the good-hearted Cornelius? You see, when Cornelius was presented with truth, it was not the desire of Cornelius to argue the plan of salvation with Peter. He did not want to debate over the points of it. He did not want to question Peter. He wanted to hear the words of truth that Peter would bring, and he wanted to know truth concerning the gospel of Christ and how to please God. And so at this point now, with everybody understanding why they were gathered together, we see that Peter now begins to deliver the gospel message beginning in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Peter strongly points out in the beginning of his sermon to Cornelius and his household, and this would be for those Gentiles of the household of Cornelius. This would be for the hearing of those Jews who came from Joppa with him, that God is no respecter of person. He points out that any man or in any woman in any nation that is willing to obey and to follow the conditions that God has set forth for the salvation of man, that individual is a candidate for salvation and has before him the opportunity to be added by the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. Those who fear God and those who work righteousness, these are individuals that deeply love and worship God, those who seek to obey his commands. The choice was now going to be up to these Gentiles. The choice would be for them to obey God or not to obey. The gospel would not be forced upon them. Verse 36, Peter continues, the word which God has sent to the children of Israel preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The message is the same to Jew or Gentile. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of all. He has authority in all things. It is absolute. The gospel was now being taken to the Gentiles. Peter was preaching to the Gentiles now that there would be salvation by no other name but the name of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. That wall of separation between the Jew and the Gentile, brought about by the Mosaical dispensation, was now broken down. In verse 37, the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. The apostles were taking the message to all the world in obeying the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The gospel message was going to all the world now. In verse 38, then Peter said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Father had given Jesus all power by the Holy Spirit. And daily, and without ceasing, Jesus was doing good works. He was extending mercy and compassion to men. He was healing all who were oppressed by Satan and his demons. Jesus had the ability to do all of these things because he was one, and he was united with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Do you recall the words of Nicodemus? People knew that Jesus was of God, whether they accepted him as Lord or not. In John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. In verse 39, Peter points out that they had seen these very things. And we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Peter points out that we, referring to the apostles, had been picked by Jesus, and they were all witnesses of all these things that Jesus has done, and also the things that was done to Jesus. And these witnesses were handpicked by Jesus and appointed and commissioned to carry out the gospel to all corners of the earth. Peter pointed out that the Jews had put Jesus on the cross. They had the assistance of the Romans, who were Gentiles, and they had killed him. The guilt was upon Jew and Gentile. And Peter points out that he was killed upon a tree. Peter is delivering the gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to this Gentile household of Cornelius. In verse 40, him, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Peter has now told them of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had raised up Jesus from the dead on the third day. He has preached to them the same message that he preached in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when the kingdom was open to the Jews. He is now preaching the same message to the Gentiles. Peter pointed out those very things. Recall the similarity of what he preached in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Paul also pointed out the resurrection, the genuineness of it, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. But some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. These witnesses were individuals that knew the Lord personally. They were not mistaken in identifying Jesus. Over 500 credible and unbiased witnesses would be so moved that they would be willing to lay down their lives for the name of Christ. In verse 42, Peter said that he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. You see, this is what the apostles had been commanded to do. Again, Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Peter told them that Jesus was ordained of God, as he said at Pentecost in Acts 2:32-33, this Jesus God is raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. And in verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. The one who comes to Jesus Christ, believing in his name, and willing to take up his cross, and follow him daily through obedient belief, in keeping his commandments, our love that motivates us to do that, our love of the Savior, and receive remission of sin through baptism into Christ and faithfulness. And so now in the final verses here, in our final few minutes this morning, we will see now the conversion of Cornelius and his household. In verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. In chapter 11 and verse 15, when Peter is recounting these events to the other apostles, we see that this is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It occurred as Peter began to speak. In Acts 11, verse 15, Peter, relating these events, said, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." This pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the household of Cornelius took place before their belief in Christ. It was as he began to speak. Notice they had not yet heard the gospel message. They did not yet have faith in Christ. They were not saved by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but they were saved by responding to the gospel of Christ. The purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit here was a sign for the Jews, so that they would understand that the Gentiles were accepted by God, just as Peter had received that message in his vision. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not what saved them. They were going to be saved by believing and obedient faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Remember, it was the message they needed, not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for salvation. In chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, as he recounts this, Peter said, "And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which all you and your household will be saved.'" Verse 45 says, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." This was an amazing moment for these Jews to attempt to grasp that the Holy Spirit had now been given to the Gentiles. In verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then Peter answered, "They saw the gift of tongues and them speaking other languages. This was the evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the Jews to understand and for it to be authenticated for them." And now notice, in verse 47, Peter said, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" God had shown through Peter's vision and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles that they were candidates for the gospel. And so as they received this message, and with them believing that message, Peter now begs the obvious question: can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we? No one could deny what they had just witnessed. No one could argue against the baptism of these individuals. And in verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Then they asked him to stay a few days. The chapter concluded with the household of Cornelius being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. The chapter concludes with the household of Cornelius desiring for Peter to stay and abide with them for a few days to teach them more of the way of Christ. These individuals who were devout, sincere, and religious, but yet what they were practicing was no longer of effect. They put away their pride. They put away their stubbornness. They responded to the message of the cross. They gave obedience to the command of Jesus. For Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And what did this do for Cornelius and his household? For them, it brought the remission of sin. To have the slate wiped clean, they became children of God. The Lord added them to His church, Acts 2:47. They were now simply Christians, no more, no less, a part of the kingdom, a part of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you today? I hope that you have already made that decision and commitment. But maybe you've not. Maybe you've been led astray by the teachings of men or the world. Take the steps to correct it. Become a child of God today. Or come back home to the kingdom, whatever the case may be. If we can help you in any way, we urge you to let us know at mornings at TGRN. We'd be glad to help you. Our time is about up. We hope that you'll stay tuned through the day for the rest of the programming here on TGRN. Tune in again tomorrow with Brother Groda and Brother Hendricks as they bring us Acts chapter 11. Until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a fantastic day.